From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. California is the only state in the nation to require drug makers electronically tag all prescription drugs to protect against counterfeiting. At least that was the idea. The plan was supposed to take effect last year, but industry lobbyists argued they simply couldn't deliver new product packaging in time for the deadline, or for the next deadline of 2009. So state regulators yesterday pushed the deadline out to 2011. Given California's size, industry experts anticipate the state law could become the de facto standard for the nation in 2011. Environmentalists are suing the U.S. EPA over its finding that air in the San Joaquin Valley meets federal standards for dust, smoke, and soot. Those tiny particles of pollution are linked to asthma and heart problems. The EPA's passing grade ignored violations measured on exceptionally windy days. Kevin Hall, with the Tehipite chapter of the Sierra Club, says researchers studying the San Joaquin Valley have linked air pollution to about 2,000 deaths a year.
EPA's failure to act means it'll be years before we get to the rulemaking that needs to occur to clean the air. In the meantime, that rate of death will continue.
Federal officials argue the valley's air has been improving in the last 5 years thanks to new rules like those that require watering unpaved roads, reducing tilling on farm fields, and wood-burning fireplace use. For the past 2 weeks, Governor Schwarzenegger has logged a lot of miles talking about the budget crisis. In a series of well-choreographed events around the state, the governor has made it clear he wants more than just a solution to the current budget deficit. But as Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers reports, so far the governor's rhetoric on chronic budget problems hasn't been backed up by a plan.
Last week in the Bay Area community of Pleasant Hill, Governor Schwarzenegger said the budget process itself must change.
What we really need to do is figure out how do we fix that? How do we prepare ourselves since we know every 5-6 years we have this downturn in the economy and therefore a downturn in revenues? How do we protect ourselves from that?
Schwarzenegger wants to amend the state constitution to force major changes to the budget process. He placed the issue on the table in his State of the State speech in January. But while he's traveled the state talking about it, there's been little talk in Sacramento, with only the general set of budget reform ideas he laid out almost 3 months ago. Those ideas include a rainy day fund of some kind, where a percentage of state revenues are set aside in good years, and a mechanism to either force the legislature to make mid-year spending cuts when a deficit appears, or allow the governor to make the cuts on his own. But major questions remain unanswered. How will the governor's budget advisors calculate the deficit? What happens if legislative budget analysts disagree with the governor's projections? Because those projections appear to be the sole information in determining what happens next. And suppose the legislature wants to raise taxes instead of make cuts. Will the governor's budget reform plan allow for that? Schwarzenegger's press secretary, Aaron McClear, says the lack of specificity at this point isn't an issue.
I don't think that folks need to see the actual language. I think that the proposal that we unveiled at the State of the State is the framework for what the language will be.
But the specific language is important, especially when it comes to budget reform. When the governor pushed a different budget plan, Proposition 76, in 2005, it was the detailed language that opponents hung around his neck in political campaign ads.
He'll be free to cut schools, public safety, even health care with no legislative oversight.
This time, Schwarzenegger seems willing to give the legislature an expanded role in the process. But if legislators fail to act, the governor would appear to have the power to cut state spending as he sees fit. And that's still a problem, says Democrat Daryl Steinberg of Sacramento, the incoming president pro tem of the state Senate.
It is, I think, a bad precedent to give one branch of government unilateral authority to make budget decisions. That's not the way that it is intended to work, and for good reason.
Meantime, while the governor claims his plan would protect school funding, there are no specifics yet on how. Without that specificity, there can be no vetting by experts, no public hearings, and no movement on actual long-term budget problems. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Humboldt County is conducting a tsunami warning test today, the first of its kind in California. So if you're listening to the radio in Humboldt, you might hear something like this.
This is a test of the emergency alert system and a special communications test for tsunami warning messages. This is only a test.
Jim Goltz, Earthquake and Tsunami Program Director for the state's Office of Emergency Services, joins us to go into more detail.
It is a test of live tsunami event codes broadcast over the emergency alert system. The emergency alert system is a vital link in the tsunami warning system. It's our communication with the public. This is not often tested because of concern that people would mistake the test for an actual tsunami emergency, would evacuate, and perhaps be injured.
What would happen if this were a real event?
Well, in a real event, they would receive notification, just as I've indicated, and it would not be indicated that it's a test. It would be an actual tsunami warning. Now, there would be other indicators as well. They might hear sirens, if there's sirens in the area. They might also hear public address system from emergency officials who are driving around through neighborhoods. They would also hear this, of course, over NOAA weather radios.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but can you describe the worst tsunami in California history?
The worst tsunami in California history, as far as we know, was in 1964 after the Alaska earthquake, which generated a tsunami that caused 11 deaths in Crescent City and caused damage in a variety of places down the coast.
So why run this drill in Humboldt County instead of, say, Del Norte County?
Humboldt County is probably one of the most tsunami-prepared counties in California. We also have very good cooperation among the National Weather Service, State Office of Emergency Services, and the Humboldt County Office of Emergency Services.
Presumably, you're hoping for a fairly smooth run, but are there any questions you want answered in today's drill?
Yes, any drill that's conducted is designed to identify any problems, gaps, or other potential glitches in the system that we need to know about. We would certainly rather discover problems with the emergency alert system during a test, such as we're conducting today, rather than find out about it when there was an actual tsunami warning issued. So if we discover some problems, it's good to discover them at this point.
Well, Jim Goltz, thank you so much.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
Jim Goltz is Earthquake and Tsunami Program Manager for the state's Office of Emergency Services. That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 26th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.